Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
The Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry on November 22nd, in recognition of International Men's Day, proudly presented a session, Boys to Men, an empowering and impactful event tailored for Barbados's fifth and sixth formers. The focus was on equipping young men with the tools to navigate life's challenges with resilience and purpose. The keynote address, From Reaction to Resolution, Tools for Managing Challenges Facing Young Men in Today's Society, was brought by motivational speaker Fabian Anthony, who's with us today. This dynamic session went deep into the critical issues young men face today, offering practical strategies to rise above obstacles and thrive. To complement the keynote, a thought-provoking panel was put together, and with us today as well is member of the BCCI Council and the lead on this initiative, CEO of Signia Globe Financial and panelist Paul Ashby. He shared his insights and engaged the young audience along with the rest of the expert panelists brought together by the BCCI team. Let's Talk Business today. We'll examine how businesses can play a part in addressing crime and violence in youth. I'm Michelle Spencer. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So, Paul, can you give us some background on this initiative?
So, as you know, the Chamber of Commerce plays an active role in the community. And over the years, currently now being ably led by our Mr. James Clark, he's the president. Over the years, we have embarked on initiatives for women in leadership. The Power Summit has been very successful. And this year, we recognize that maybe there's an opportunity for the Chamber to become more involved in the activities around our men. And so in recognition of the International Day of Men, November 19th, we embarked on the idea of hearing from our boys and also imparting some information to our boys. We know that growing up as a boy could be challenging. It's probably even more challenging in today's society. And so we thought it would be a really good opportunity for some of the men at the Chamber to not only share knowledge with our young men, but also to hear them, you know, give them an opportunity to share their perspectives. And perhaps out of that, we thought that we would be able to move our society forward and be able to navigate some of the challenges that they face today.
Fabian came on board as your keynote speaker. Why do you think that transitioning boys to men is such a critical conversation for young men in today's society?
I think that transitioning boys to men is such a critical conversation because the reality is a lot of the young men or young boys transitioning into manhood do not know exactly what to expect. They do not know exactly how to be. We have a situation where a lot of these boys are coming from single parent homes where the fathers are not present in the home. So it is challenging. And that is a challenge that I myself had. Well, my father was always in my life. During my teenage years, he was not in the home. And I felt robbed of the experience of having him show me or navigate the transition from boy to man with me. So I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. And I think that we do need to put mechanisms in place to really show these young men how to be men and have them surrounded with positive role models. So I'm very excited about the initiative that the Chamber has undertaken.
What were some of the insights that you shared with these young men?
I share tools, how to become more resilient, how to take care of yourself first in terms of your mental well-being. We take our mental well-being for granted, but the reality is if we're not right mentally, then it's pretty difficult to get anything else right. And that's a big focus of mine, you know, when engaging with the youth. I just finished my corporate wellness specialist certification. So I'm really hammering home the idea that we need to take care of our mental well-being and put tools in place to help us manage stress, to help us navigate conflict resolution, to help us to think before we react or to respond as opposed to reacting when we find ourselves in challenging situations. So that's just an idea of what was shared. And I'm looking forward to sharing a bit more with you later on in the program.
Now, I know that you mentioned, several tools that you would have shared and also the challenges, but what do you both think might be some of the biggest challenges that young men face?
I think it may seem like a simple one, but I think the idea of having to pretend to be a man, having to not being able to emote, not being given the space to think that it's okay to be emotional. We live in an age now where that's quite acceptable, but also we still have the trappings of the idea that a man needs to be manly and strong and face the world. And I think boys today are caught in the middle of that trap where they don't want to come over as, being soft or, having emotions. But I think the stimuli that they have coming at them through social media and so on could become overwhelming, right? And so I think that might be one of just being able to have a place to articulate their feelings to express. So I think one of the biggest challenges is being able to just to be normal and feel that being normal is normal, which is around how you manage your emotions.
I think that is a very powerful point, Paul. I remember recently having a challenging situation and I was sharing with a family member. As I was sharing with them, I could feel, the weight of the situation coming down on me. And as I was sharing, I said to the person, "Can I cry? Can I cry?" It sounds like a weird question,
No,
but
sure.
we are taught as men that it's not okay to. And after that conversation, I look back on it and I say, feeling you really had to ask permission to cry. So I think that was a very powerful point you just made.
That's
Wow. Wow. And
that's
the
one
powerful.
I
Go ahead, Paul.
no, I was also saying Well, I was also saying one of the other challenges is also, and this came out, is, how do I deal with failure? There's so much expectation to succeed, to do well, to become somebody, and so to hear men articulate that, challenges will happen, you will have failures, everything will not always go the way you expect. Yeah, I think that's also a big one. I mean, if you're watching a lot of the things you see in social, everybody looks successful. Everybody's making money. But the truth is, those images are not necessarily true. And the idea of being able to become rich instantly, or to become, famous, or to become, successful instantly, that doesn't happen in reality. And I think that's one of the other things that men have to grapple with, or boys have to grapple with. How do I deal with life if I'm not successful? So that's another one that came up for sure.
So then let's deal with this. How are we going to equip them with the tools for managing conflict and building resilience?
I think one of the key ways of equipping them with the tools is having constant conversation with these young men. So it cannot be a situation where, we just have a one-off event and expect that they're gonna go away from these kind of programs and implement everything that they would have learned. I think we need to invest in keeping the conversation going, go into the schools and have conversations with them about managing the emotions, about resolving conflict, about how to have difficult conversations and look into what may be preventing them from having these difficult conversations. So as I go around and I talk to people, I myself would have struggled at school as a result of ADHD. And as a result of that, I was also not capable of having difficult conversations. But after being diagnosed and learning exactly what the issues were, I was able to then put the tools in place to help me navigate those difficult conversations, to help me manage stress, to help me just try to become a more rounded human being. So as we engage with the youth on a constant basis, I think we also need to listen to them, hear what their challenges are, and try to address those challenges individually, as we build out our mentorship programs, as we connect them with people in the community of good standing, people that they can look to, and have those people pour back into these young people constantly, as opposed to just one-off programs.
I have to absolutely endorse Fabian's comment here, because I think what I refer to, I need to create a safe space for discourse. We need to create a space where people can feel comfortable that they can speak freely, openly, and safely. So that's why a continuous effort is going to be required. We need some professionals around as well who can, because some of the issues that people face are deeply seated in, you know, the circumstances of life, which could be scarring. And so there is going to be, you know, we're going to have to look at some professional assistance on this. But I do take Fabian's point about just having that listening ear, somebody who is there to actually hear you, give you voice. Because one of the things too is also the difficulty of articulation. So you almost have to equip some of the young men with the capability of being able to articulate. And that only happens by giving the opportunity for expression. So, and that expression could be written, it could be oral, but you need to be able to provide those spaces where that articulation could occur, where they can feel safe in doing it. Then you have to have some professionals around who could help them through some of the challenges that they may be facing. Because all of it is not going to be a simple fix, right? It's not going to be something that you could just look at someone and say, okay, model this. Modeling the behavior is going to be unfortunate, but sometimes it will need some deeper intervention as well.
I agree with that. And the professionals know the right questions to ask. I remember I'm a big supporter of regular counseling sessions, having a person schedule that you go and talk to maybe once a month, even if it's just to check in. I'm a big supporter of that. And one of the experiences that I had when I started seeing a counselor was that they kept asking me, oh, how do I feel about situations? And my response was continuously, I think that. They said, no, Fabian. We're talking about feelings, not thoughts. And we had to work through that. So I agree with what Paul just shared about having professionals involved and asking the right questions and getting to the root of a lot of these issues by having them connect with their feelings as opposed to just their thoughts.
Well, I'm glad that we're getting the practical suggestions as well, and I believe that they will be implemented. And that leads me to ask, what role does corporate social responsibility play in addressing youth and crime violence and violence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's vital that as corporates, we employ people from persons from the community, and the people from the community are our customers. So, you know, it's integral to what we do as businesses. And there are customers, there are employees, there are families in some cases. And so it is important that we invest dollars in these programs. That's why we had our program, but also time, right? It's important that we invest some time in the youth. These programs are not going to be programs that will solve all the things that we need to do are not going to be solved as one-offs. And it's not something that the government can do alone. Right? It's going to take the entire community of persons to make this work. A lot of the challenges actually starts in the home. So we need to figure out how we get into the homes. If Fabian talked about single parent homes, and most times you'll engage children or you engage the youth in a program, but it's still going back to the environment. So we need to figure out how we can get into the homes, and the church has a role to play, community groups has a role to play. And for all these parties that have a role to play, so does corporate Barbados. And so this initiative that is being undertaken by the BCCA is a first for this group of persons. And I'm sure it's going to be the first of many. I think we've talked about it at our council. We think it's a very serious matter for us to be engaged. We know there is the committee that is being created to deal with crime, but we have to deal with it at source. And I think our corporate social responsibility is about how we can get to these issues at source. And this is one that we've used so far, and there'll be others in the future.
Now, the theme for International Men's Day this year is positive role models. So can you speak to the critical importance of the men, the male members of the chamber, mentoring our young men? Tell us about this.
Yeah, I think we have a cadre of men in our chamber who will provide a good sort of opportunity for people to look up to. We in our session, we gathered some, and I would say, young men as our panelists, and the chamber is replete with other individuals, so I think we'll be able to bring on board. We as men have lived this life in this community as well. We didn't all get to where we were at the top. We had to race through the ladder. So I think the kind of men that we have in our chamber will be useful for sharing their experiences and how they're, just as we did in the seminar on Friday, how we were able to navigate some of the challenges. I think when you have a live example, like Fabian shared some of his live examples early on this program, but when you have a live example where people can identify with the circumstances that you identified with, you know, I think they realize that it is possible that we can actually get out of our circumstances. So I think it, as we build this out and we engage more and more of our men, they will provide sort of like the rubric, the modeling and the opportunity for men to see that, okay, this is not the end all and be all for me. I can actually raise. So it is vitally important that we utilize our men in this way.
So that's on the individual male level, but how can businesses really support the youth entrepreneurship then as a tool for violence reduction and community transformation?
Maybe you want to talk about that first?
Yeah, I'll jump in here.
Sure.
How can businesses support youth entrepreneurship?
Yes.
I think by providing the same mentorship programs, by making funding available for the youth to get businesses off the ground, by business leaders making themselves available to share a lot of the challenges that they would have encountered as entrepreneurs and getting companies started, what to expect, what not to expect, and how to go about setting things up correctly. So it all ties back into mentorship. And I think that as the business community gets deeply involved and makes themselves available to young men that are interested in pursuing a business, that we should see some positive outcomes.
Yeah, just add to that next year, the Chamber will be celebrating its 200th year of existence. And we'll have a number of programs around some mentorship. We'll be going into schools. I don't want to share all of it now because it's still in its embryonic stages. But the kind of thing that Fabian is talking about is how we see ourselves engaging with the youth. We know for young men, and the rich at university tell it, and more and more females are going on to do tertiary level education. But what's actually happening is that we're seeing that young men are trying to be more entrepreneurial. And I think that might be one of the ways that we can identify with sort of cracking this code of how to get to them, get closer to them. It is the idea of, look, it's part of that, how can I get to this ladder of success quickly? And maybe entrepreneurship is the route, but you have to do it in the right way. So you do need the idea of how do you build a business case, how do you approach for funding? What are the ways of funding? Because funding is not only necessarily through a bank or financial institution, when we use that terminology, because that sometimes might be the most expensive way. So we need to engage in fora where we can talk about how you build a business or how you can grow a business. And these types of initiatives will not only be, I think, going forward about sort of the emotional side and the growth side, but you know, how we can get to the true heart of the matter is how do we get into a commercial state? And I think that's a great big opportunity that we have as a chamber as we continue to look at this area.
I agree. And I think listening to a lot of the ideas from the youth that we may not be familiar with is critically important, at least hearing them out. I remember a situation with a young man in the insurance industry, young agent. And, you know, all the agents, we are taught to prospect, we are taught to make calls, we are taught to set appointments. But these young people are exposed to a wealth of information online. And his idea was, you know what? If I run ads and I train somebody to call and set my appointments, then all they need to do is close sales. And this is a concept that he would have learned on YouTube from a lot of the international insurance advisors. And that worked for him week after week after week. He was top salesperson. So, you know, the younger people have ideas and see things a little differently. So I think is important for us older folk. I don't know why I'm calling myself an older folk, but for us older individuals, so you know, hear them out, hear their ideas, and see what makes sense to implement, because a lot of the ideas they have could very well help us in our own businesses.
That's a strong point. I like that point because I think at the forum, what we realize is that, you know, we may have gone there to share information, but you do hear and learn a lot from the youth as they articulate as well. So I think it has to be, I think we have to have the mindset of listening. I think you made that point very strongly earlier, Fabian, that it's not just a tell show, but we also have to engage by listening and listening actively. So great point.
Well, you've engaged the fifth and the sixth formers. Are there any plans that you might be looking to engage those who are younger?
Well, we've started here. We have to flesh it out some more. You know, that will take for, you know, maybe a wider discourse. But we
Okay.
thought that since we're talking about boys to men, these are the boys that will sooner become men. And so we thought this was a good place to start. There is a good opportunity that we can potentially go further, but this is our starting point, and we'll examine it to see how it goes.
One of the things I really love about the idea of mentorship and bringing the boys into an environment like this is I've found that a lot of young men do not receive validation at home or their peers or at all. There's nobody to say good job when they accomplish something. There's nobody to say I am proud of you. And even within the Barbadian culture, seeing an older man hug a younger man and saying, I love you, I am proud of you, I support you. This is not something that we're accustomed to seeing. And I hope that initiatives like this, through initiatives like this, that we can begin to see that situation change, where young men are receiving the validation they deserve for the things that they've been accomplishing.
So Fabian, I think you're gonna have to teach that to some of us adults as well. I was in a session like before the one we held a team session, and that was one of the teachings, you know, that, you know, as adults, we don't generally, I mean, I say Caribbean adults, we don't generally validate each other. Probably worse among the men folk. So some of that learning we do too even have to unlearn, or we learn ourselves as adult men. So that may be a lesson you'll want to share with us men as well going forward too.
Definitely.
Well, prevention is always better than cure. But in the case of young men who might be trying to turn around from crime and so on, how can businesses help to facilitate this transition?
That's a really tough one. I mean, I think what we have to be able to do is, first of all, see ways to how we can employ some of the young men. You know, sometimes when you are interviewing, it probably is 10 times more, out of, or say 9 times out of 10, easier to employ the female because she'll present very well. She'll be articulate. She will, you know, they prepare very well. They probably gone for a longer level in education. But sometimes you may have to, as an employer, think about how you give that male the opportunity, maybe based on attitude, because you know you can hire for well, it's easier to hire for attitude and train for technical issues. So I think the way how we approach our men folk, beyond just mentoring them and trying to bring them up, we probably have to prepare them for the world of work. And we have to give them opportunities. I really do believe that sincerely. It's something that I personally practice in the business that I have some level of responsibility for, where we try to encourage men. And I have a whole set of female managers, and they are pretty much bought into it as well, right? To at least give some young men opportunity. I think in most sometimes all individuals want is to Fabian's point is the validation. Beyond the validation, the opportunity. So what I would do is to encourage my colleagues and other members of council is, let's not discount the young men. Let's not discard them. Let's not say, well, they're doomed to be on the block. They probably just need to bring out some of them. And some of them want to as well, they want to get out of their circumstances. I think we just need to help them out of their circumstances. So I think the first step that we have made here at the chamber is to identify that we do have a significant role to play. And I think as we continue to think this through, we'll find other ways and more ways to become more ingrained and part of this solution. It's not something that we're going to solve overnight, but I think we have to continually find avenues to participate and find ways to bring men on board, certainly our boys on board, so we could help safe passage to manhood and help basically reclaim our community, because it's important to women too. Women do not want to live in a society where the men are left behind. Our women are progressing well, and that's great. We've done very well in that regard. But if we continually remain behind, society eventually will suffer for it. So we all have a role to play in making everybody come up to par.
I agree, and one of the challenges that I've noticed is we have a situation where men get excited about different things that women may get excited about. And from the school system coming all the way through to adulthood, we ask young men to sit in a class and be quiet for 8 hours a day. Or a lot of the jobs that are being offered now, the jobs that men would have gravitated towards in the past are now automated. Machines can do these things, right? So, we have to find a way to make things exciting in a way that calls to men, in a way that men would feel, a need to gravitate towards some of the positions that are on offer now, because there are not many guys I know that get excited about sitting at a desk doing data entry. They get excited about, things that call for a bit more activity, things that call for a bit more critical thinking and problem solving and that kind of thing. And the women are very good at navigating both worlds. So I think we need to find a way to really engage the men more and help them to see how to job craft. That's the thought that was coming to me. How to job craft, how to take the job that you have, the job that you're being offered, and find ways to shape it to your personality, find ways to make it exciting for you. So if you are a person like myself that decided, I wanted to be a full-time speaker, but I'm also a poet, how do I take the things that I'm good at and the things that I love and incorporate them into whatever job that I have? So I like to talk. So I took the idea from the young man at work and I got somebody to make those calls for me so that most days I go into the office and I have a meeting. I spend most days just talking to individuals and engaging with them. And the paperwork that used to give me so much stress is no longer an issue. So, we need to find ways to shape the jobs that we have and mold them in a way that we get excited about them and we make them things that we look forward to doing every day as opposed to things that we dread.
Wonderful insights from both of you. I really want to thank you for sharing. And I want to say that I'm sure that as we continue through the chamber and through your work as well, Fabian, that impact certainly will come about. You've been listening to Let's Talk Business. I'm Michelle Spencer. And today we heard from motivational speaker Fabian Anthony and Paul Ashby, the CEO of Signia Globe Financial, as we discussed Boys to Men, an empowering and impactful event which was tailored for Barbados's fifth and sixth formers as it looked at reduction of youth crime and violence. On behalf of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, I wish you a great day.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.